There's like actually lots to talk about. Lots
There
has
is.
happened in the last week, and there's crazy stuff happening. Like
Oh, yeah.
we had some pretty we had a good week, in terms of results. First of all, let's talk about that win against Gladbach
Yeah. That was
on Wednesday. Yeah.
Wednesday. Yeah, that win against Gladbach was huge. I think the fact that we were able to get that, even though it wasn't like necessarily the prettiest of wins, it was really big for the team because they needed something to give them like confidence heading into this week, this past weekend, or yesterday's game. Wolfsburg isn't necessarily top of the table, but they're still always a very good team. And I believe they were the only team that still hadn't lost a match. They were still undefeated in the Bundesliga. And we gave them their first loss of the year. Actually, yeah, they were the only team that was still undefeated. And now Wolfsburg and Dortmund are the only two teams with just one loss. But I think what separates like Mönchengladbach from Dortmund is the fact that Dortmund has only 5 wins but 4 draws, whereas Mönchengladbach, they have 2 losses, but they also have 7 wins to go with it. So they're not drawing nearly as many matches as Dortmund is, and a lot of those draws for Dortmund are right now what is keeping them from being in first place. The draws, the 2-2 draws 3 in a row, that's really, I think, what is holding Dortmund back right now. But at the same time, Dortmund's fortunate that those came at the beginning of the season instead of at the end of the season, because they can recover from that and they still have a chance to get those 3 points against those same teams later in the season. And I would hope that it left a little bit of a sour taste in the mouths of the Dortmund players and that they come out hungry next time they play those teams. But specifically with the win over Mönchengladbach heading or for the DFB Pokal, like that's huge because one, Dortmund almost never gets knocked out that early in the Pokal, the cup. And two, Dortmund needed something to boost their confidence for both Champions League play and for Bundesliga play because of what's been going on lately and a lot of the uncertainties surrounding the club, especially after those 3 consecutive 2-2 draws.
Yeah, I totally agree with you in the fact that Gladbach's game was very was the toughest one out of the two the both of the games because we came from a loss to Milan and then a draw against Schalke, and what happened is that win in Gladbach really gave like players confidence, and we were really. We really needed everyone like needed that win. Players needed the win and the coach as well. As you said as well, we don't like get, we never get knocked out in the second round of the DFB Pokal. If that happened, that would be a disaster, especially for like Lucien Favre. But we managed to come back in the game. We managed to score 2 goals thanks to Julian Brandt's efforts. It was amazing. For the player as well to build his confidence. I guess Hazard was unlucky because he had played a great game, hitting the bar and setting up one of the 2 goals. Overall, like quality wise, the game was amazing against Gladbach.
Yeah, it was a classic between the two. The Dortmund and Gladbach, the two Borussias, they put on some great fights with each other for the fans, and I think both sides got an entertaining matchup, and I think Dortmund in the end earned the win, but I don't think it was necessarily a dominant performance as much as it was a solid performance all around. Dortmund didn't necessarily dominate the entire match, but they played the entire match pretty well, and they did what they needed to do to win, and they did that for the entire match, as opposed to in other matches this season where Dortmund looked really good for maybe 75 or 80% of the match, but then for that 20% where they weren't good, they looked really bad, and it was a lot of inconsistencies in Dortmund's play, I think, that were causing them to struggle and finding wins that they should have had, and that's why they lost a lot of leads late to give up 2-2 draws instead of winning 2-1. But this time, Dortmund even faced a little adversity. They gave up the first goal to Mönchengladbach, but they immediately responded, and I really liked what I saw from Brandt. I think he needed a performance like that to boost his own confidence, because I think Brandt and Hazard too, with his performance yesterday against Wolfsburg, I think those two players are two players who definitely, like, no one questions that they're very talented and they're very skilled, but they had really struggled to find their rhythm in Dortmund's system under Lucien Favre, and they kind of just needed something to give them the confidence that they belong in the system, or that they're as good as we all thought they were heading into the season. And I think with Brandt and Mönchengladbach, and then Hazard with Wolfsburg, I think those two players respectively in the respective games got kind of a better feel for their own roles on the team, and they kind of showed themselves what they're capable of, so to speak. Not that they didn't believe in themselves before, but I think it gives them more confidence to be a little more aggressive and to play like they had played this past week in future matches. And I'm hoping that we see more of what we saw these past two matches from both them and the rest of the squad moving forward. And I also thought it was great for Götze to get the penalty kick goal. I mean, I am a huge Götze fanatic, so, like, I've been wishing we could see more of him this year, but, like, I also understand that, like, Lucien Favre has a system that he wants to work in, and Götze may not work as well in that system as I would like him to work, or as I'd like to believe he'd work. So for him to be able to take the penalty kick, even though it was in the absence of Marco Reus, which we're obviously going to be concerned about the injury, I was very happy to see Götze score it. I told you already, that was probably the most excited I had been all weekend, and I just jumped and shouted, even though it was just a PK. Like, it was basically a guaranteed goal, but, like, I was still very excited for him, because I like to see that he can still get involved, and I like to see that he is getting rewarded for when he is out there and putting in the effort that he's putting in.
Yeah, and talking about that, like, I read like some kind of an article in Bild, and Bild is like this clickbaity German, like, sports magazine, and they, like, put on articles that are very, like, that encourage people to click, but nothing, like, they have, like, legit sources, but it's like, I don't like them, like, overall. But then they wrote this piece about it's titled, "Is Borussia Dortmund Better Off Without Marco Reus?" And if you think about it, like, for the last games, the way Borussia Dortmund played, Marco Reus was absent. Either he was ill or he was substituted due to injury. And what happened is that we were able to pull good performances against good teams. So I don't know. Is there, like, I don't think that Marco Reus is the player who is holding Dortmund's, like, you know, like, performances this year. But what I see is that apparently Lucien Favre's whole system goes around Marco Reus. And while that can be a great advantage, because we all know that Marco Reus is a legend and he's a great player, it can also be a hurdle, because he isn't always there, you know, like, he isn't always in form. Not like last season. This season is very different for him. And what happens is that when he's not in form, the whole system falls apart. And we saw that, because he didn't play against Gladbach and we won. And he didn't play against Wolfsburg and we won. So what happened is that when he doesn't play, the whole system changes. Like, we have Hakimi, we have Götze, we have Hazard, we have Brandt, who have, like, major roles. And who all, like, share this big role of creating chances, of making runs, of, like, creating space. But then at the end, what happens is that when all these players, like, feel important in the game, we have results. Whereas when we have, like, central player whose the game evolves around him, if he's not on form, we're not gonna have a good, you know, a good outcome. And that's what happened. So right now we have, like, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good point. I think, you know, we see it with the system, like kind of what you were pointing at. You know, when Marco Reus is out there, it does look like our team's success and our ability to score goals relies on playing the ball through him and like focusing and emphasizing that he is the one running things in the final third. And when he, in his absence, it's not just one player who's picking up kind of the leadership responsibilities and kind of like the orchestrator responsibilities that he carries. It's like a multitude of players, like you said. You know, it doesn't just, if Marco Reus is out, it's not just Mario Götze who's now taking the pressure that was on Reus's shoulders. That pressure is kind of evenly split across multiple players. You know, you've got Hakimi, Sancho, Hazard, Brandt, Götze. They all share kind of the same types of roles that Marco Reus is really tasked with carrying on his own. And I think at times building a system around a specific player has its benefits. You know, when you've got a player, like a world-class player, like Cristiano Ronaldo, Leo Messi, you want to build your system around them because the more they have the ball, the better it's going to be for your system and the harder it's going to be to defend. But not that Marco Reus isn't a world-class talent, but I don't think Marco Reus is an individual player that you want to have to build your entire system around. I think you want to build your squad around Marco Reus, and you want to find players that work and complement with his play style. But I don't think you necessarily want to resort to building your entire system around Reus, because at a certain point, it's going to be possible to kind of break down that system. And I think that's a lot of what we saw in our draws, where Marco Reus was still playing, but we weren't getting the results. We were just so adamant about running it through Reus that a lot of the other opportunities for some of our other very talented players, just they weren't happening, because the emphasis was if they had the ball, they had to find a way to get it to Reus. And I think when Reus is in form, you know, when he's on the top of his game like he was for just about all of last season, then that can work to a certain extent. But even then, you know, with he gets a lot of the pressure that was on his shoulders last season kind of was taken off by the development and emergence of Jadon Sancho. You know, Sancho's ability to just come in from out of nowhere and add a whole new layer of pace and skill to the attack kind of shared a similar, he kind of shared a similar role that Reus had in creating the attacks, because Reus's pace is obviously one of his strongest suits, but also his dribbling and his skills and his technical abilities help, I guess I would say they exaggerate the effects of his pace in the same way that Sancho's ability on the ball with his pace create a very lethal combo. And at the same time, though, if Reus wasn't able to find himself in scoring areas, he could rely on Alcacer to finish the job in tight. And there wasn't necessarily this emphasis that the game would be played through Reus, but there was still like he was still a focal point of the attack, but he wasn't the only point. And I feel like this year, it feels more like that he's the only point, like he is the only focal point, as opposed to being one of the primary focal points. And when you've got, it's one thing when he's by far your best player, like when you don't have big names to surround Marco Reus, you really don't have many options besides to play through him. But this year, Dortmund has talent both up front and back and in the midfield. You know, it's a very well-rounded team. And I think if you try to emphasize playing through one player, it even if it's not something that is overtly telling the other players they're not important, it diminishes their role and limits what they can do when they're always focused on trying to maximize the time that Reus spends on the ball. And I think Reus sees a lot, like the most of his success, when he isn't necessarily the only focal point. You know, when he's able to be a part of like a collective attacking unit, as opposed to just being the attacking unit on his own, he is able to dish the ball out to other teammates, or he's able to create space by off, like when he's not got the ball at his feet. But when he is the focal point, he doesn't really have that opportunity, because they're always trying to get him the ball. And it can be very worthwhile to get him the ball, but if he's the only one getting the ball in the final third, you're really limiting your chances. And I think also too, you see players like Guerrero got involved in the scoring yesterday. I think I really like Guerrero a lot, and I'm glad he was able to. We signed him onto a long-term contract very recently, because I like the added kind of strength he provides for the attack. But I think if we're playing through players like only Marco Reus, Guerrero's role is kind of diminished, and he doesn't get the opportunity to put his skills on showcase the same way that Brandt and Götze and Alcacer can showcase their own skills when Royce isn't the focal point. It's a fine line that we're walking, but we have to be very cautious about how we walk it. And I think if anything, we should look at what we did yesterday and take that same, like when Royce is healthy, I want to see the same strategies we had in yesterday's 3-0 win. And I want to see those applied when Royce is healthy so that he is still a primary focal point of the attack, but he's not the only focal point. You know, there's other options and we should be able to use those options and we should feel confident using those options because as we saw yesterday, they're very good options. And to not use those options when the play the ball to Royce strategy doesn't work, you know, it's kind of like you don't want to live and die by Marco Royce. And I feel like a lot of Dortmund's past, not just this season, but really like the past 5 or 6 years have felt so dependent on the health and the form of Marco Royce. You want to be able to see a Dortmund that, yes, it's going to impact the team when Marco Royce is unhealthy or he's not in form, but you don't want to see that just completely dismantle the team. And I think if we're going to keep Marco Royce as the focal point, we're going to see a lot more struggling when we can't find a way to make that work when he is healthy. Like we need to be able to feel confident in using our other options. And I think Royce understands that to an extent, but I don't know how much he kind of sees that as a player. You know, I think he's aware that he has a big impact on the team, but he's also aware that his teammates are very talented and that they have his back as much as he has his. And I guess for me, it's a matter of, is it a Lucien Favre decision to keep the attack focused on Royce, or is that more so like the way the team plays when Royce is in? And that's something that I don't have an answer to, obviously, but I would like to see more diversity in the attack, whether or not Royce is part of the attack, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand. I completely understand. So there you have your answer built. Royce is very important, but he should not be like the focal point, as you said. And I totally agree with that. So we should have like players go back to form, like Axel Witsel, Jadon Sancho, who really dropped like their form considerably compared to last season. And we need these players back. These are the players who made our team last year, and these are the players who should go back. But we have replacements right now. We have Dahoud, who is, and alongside with Witsel, who are playing great games. We have players like Delaney, who are great when they play. We have talented players. We have Hummels back, great confidence. Hids and Berkey are world-class goalkeepers. Everything is good for us. So I think that with that win in the DFB Cup, with the win on the weekend against Wolfsburg, it gives us a boost to play against Inter, because Inter's game is very important. We really need to get a win, because if we don't win, we are basically going to play Europa League this season. And the win is very important. If we play like to our strengths, as you said earlier, if we play like the same configuration with the players who are in form right now, we can beat Inter at home with a great score. We can score lots of goals. Inter are not really that scary team that we think they are. The two goals they scored against us in Milan were like, because we weren't really there, like we were absent from that game. And if we play, we have Alcacer, who is back too, so we have lots of strengths we can deploy in that game. And then after that, we have a very important game in the weekend, which is the Clásico against Munich, who are really suffering right now. Like they have problems all over the place. Let's start with Niklas Süle, their defender, their main guy for the defense, who is out for months for an injury. Lucas Hernandez, who they bought from Atletico Madrid, who is also injured for a couple of months. Boateng picked up a red card on the weekend against Frankfurt. He's not going to play. They just sacked Niko Kovac like moments, like couple of hours ago, so they are without a like without a dead trainer, I mean, we have an opportunity to get a great momentum in this weekend. Like, it's going to be tough because these games are very important and they are very difficult to play, but we still can like salvage the maximum amount of points from these two games. And we have to, because we have no excuse. Gladbach are really good this year and they're not going to stop to wait for us. And as well as in the Champions League, we really have to pick up some points to go back to competition. I think that we are complete. Even in the Wolfsburg game, when you look at the main squad, the starting 11, and then you look at the bench can make a team. You know, there are great players in the bench. We have Burki, we have Zagadou, we have Balerdi, we had Guedze, Paco Alcacer, Vitzo, Delaney. You know, we had Sancho, and we still, without these players, we still could win against Wolfsburg 3-0. So there's no excuse really not to pick up 6 points from these games and move on with the season. So what do you think about Bayern Munich? What's happening there?
It's really bizarre, if you ask me. You know, I think this year wasn't necessarily supposed to be a great year for Bayern, but there's really not a shortage of talent altogether there. It's not like they're lacking the pieces. There's just something's missing from them internally. You know, they're kind of imploding on themselves right now. There's disconnects between the sporting directors at the highest level and of course Kovac, who is not at the highest level and no longer with the club in general. There's just a lot of disarray in Bayern right now, and I think that is something that Dortmund needs to recognize heading into this weekend's matchup and see that they have a very capable squad that can, like, Bayern is good, but Dortmund's squad this year is not only good, it has looked good these past couple of matches. They have regained their confidence, and I think Bayern, on the other hand, is just mentally just a mess right now. You know, aside from Lewandowski, who's having arguably one of his best seasons ever, they're still struggling to get the results to accompany that. And even though they're only, what is it, like, I think they're 3 points behind Dortmund right now. One point behind Dortmund. Yeah. So even in this chaos that's going on at Bayern, they're still right up at the top. But Dortmund need to kind of see this as an opportunity to really differentiate themselves from Bayern and say, like, we're past our stage where we were, like, the past couple of years for Dortmund, they weren't necessarily terribly chaotic, but they were kind of messy. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of, like, concern regarding who could actually take Dortmund to the next level. Do they have the resources? What are they capable of achieving? And I think right now those are a lot of the questions that Bayern fans are asking. And I think what Dortmund need to do is show that, like, we're past that stage, and it's like we need to show that right now we see ourselves as the Bayern Munich, so to speak, of the league. Because when people think of the Bundesliga, they think of Bayern Munich as the Bundesliga's best team, and they're always the Bundesliga's best team. But this year, you know, you've got Dortmund, who's in second place, 3 points behind Mönchengladbach, who's having an uncharacteristically good year. You know, Mönchengladbach's always competitive, but they've never really performed, I think, at this level with this kind of consistency. And Dortmund, on the other hand, could have taken the opportunity, if they performed consistently in the early stages, to really have, they could be in Mönchengladbach's position and have an even bigger gap between them and the rest of the league, as opposed to typically, you know, people are accustomed to Bayern being the team at the top and then the rest of the league being behind them. Like, Dortmund can really send a message and say, Bayern aren't the only team in the Bundesliga that are good. Like, look what we've got. And I think Mönchengladbach is trying to craft a similar image for itself right now, but they're really heading into this weekend, Dortmund shouldn't see themselves as underdogs. And they also shouldn't feel a lot of pressure, you know. The pressure at this point is all on Bayern. Bayern is not meeting their own expectations. And, you know, that they are the ones who should feel the pressure. Dortmund should feel comfortable, confident, and excited to go into Munich to do what they can and presumably get 3 points, but they also they should recognize that like they shouldn't be settling for a draw this weekend. You know, a lot of times we'll say if we go into Bayern and we settle for a draw, we'll take that. And in after last year when we went to Bayern and lost, I think it was 5-1. You know, it may seem like a draw would be fine just because of how brutal that loss was, but I think a better message to send and a stronger message would be going in and getting 3 points and doing it convincingly. If Dortmund goes in and plays Dortmund football, there's really no reason Dortmund should lose. They have the right pieces to the puzzle. They've got the right players. You know, Dortmund should feel confident. They shouldn't feel like an underdog like in the past. And at the same time, they shouldn't feel pressure because the pressure is all on Bayern. Can Bayern figure it out in time to get their season back on track? Or is Bayern's season already a lost cause? And if it is a lost cause, how much of a lost cause is it? There's just so many questions surrounding Bayern. And I think with their past two performances, Dortmund have already kind of answered the questions that were surrounding the club. And I really don't see a reason why Dortmund shouldn't be expecting to get 3 points out of the matchup, especially with all the drama going on at Bayern right now.
Yeah. And as you said, we don't really know exactly how bad is the situation there, but what we know is that Bayern is a big team and they're not gonna stand there and wait. They really know how to solve problems real quick. And I know that in the two seasons ago, what they did is that they basically called Jupp Heynckes, which is their like legendary coach. He's a great coach, and he just it's like an emergency call, and he stepped in. He made like things happen. He brought back the team together. They managed to get the Bundesliga that season. They managed to advance pretty to advance in the Champions League. So they're going to find a solution. But what we should do now is that we should really take advantage of that, like, you know, that lion or that dog being hurt right now. We should really advance and take advantage of that. As you said, we have what it takes. We can do it. Maybe Royce will be fit for that. Maybe not, but we should really take advantage of that. We should not underestimate them, as you said, because we should not be the underdogs, but there's no pressure on us. And as you said, we should not really underestimate them because they are a great team and they still have Gnabry, Lewandowski, Alaba, you know, Thiago, Coutinho. They still have great players who can create the difference, but they are really weak in the back. They don't have confidence at all, and they were like beaten by Wolfsburg 5-1. So we can really go there and pick up 3 important points. And it's the key to that game is really Inter's game. If we manage to get 3 points against Inter on Tuesday, I am pretty sure that we're going to pick up a great momentum and move on with the season.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, definitely, because we need that, you know, as fans as well. So yeah, for me, that does it. I don't know what's going to happen. We're gonna have a great week as well. We have 2 important games coming up, and you know, we had some good games lately, and it's gonna continue for now. So we hope it's gonna go well. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, like?
I think you covered the last points I was thinking of. This game, really what happens when we host Inter will give us a little bit of foresight into what to expect for Bayern. And I think if the team comes out and looks good against Inter and gets 3 points, I think we can head into the weekend with a little more confidence. But I think if the team struggles against Inter and isn't able to get the 3 points or has to settle for a draw, you know, we'll kind of be a little cautiously optimistic is what I would say, because while you don't want to necessarily believe that if we struggle with Inter that we can put that behind us, or you don't want to think that struggling against Inter is going to guarantee that we struggle against Bayern, but it's the games are just so close together, and we've played so many games recently that the momentum from one game is going to carry over to the next. And in an ideal situation, you obviously want to carry positive momentum. But on the flip side, if we struggle with Inter, it could also kind of send a message to the players and to the team and say, all right, you know, people are kind of questioning just how legit we are after the Inter match. Let's go prove just what we're capable of in Bayern. And really, I think the mentality heading into both matches should be, let's show the world what we're capable of, because they're starting to buy into us again. And last time they bought into us, we gave them three draws that should have been wins. So let's tell them that this time we're a good investment, and let's show them that we're here to stick around. And I mean, I'm excited. It should be a fun week. I'm hoping it's a fun week. It's my birthday on Friday. So, you know, there could be a lot of, if Dortmund can get 3 points in both matches, then I'd like to think I'm going to have a pretty good birthday week. And it'll be a lot easier to enjoy my birthday if Dortmund is not struggling. Because if Dortmund's struggling, it's going to be hard to think, yeah, it's my birthday. But like, if Dortmund's struggling, that's more important than my birthday. You get plenty of birthdays, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm excited. Yeah. I'm very excited. I mean, I'm ready for the week. Like, I'm excited and anxious to watch it.
You heard that, Lucien Favre. Like, you have to make Ryan happy this week. How many yeah. How many Ryans do you have as fans? For like, we don't have that many, you know. So make him, come on, players, come on. Everybody should like be like main priority. Let's make Ryan happy. Like,
they should do it for themselves, but also like low key kind of do it for me too.
Let's make Ryan happy and let's do it. Yeah, like a guy like, you know, a guy like Hazard or Brandt, a guy like Hazard Brandt, they have what it takes to win games. So we're going to be pretty optimistic, and we're going to hope that everything goes out as intended. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks, Ryan, for being here.
Of course, happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you, and have a good night.